And the portion of scripture that we have read together this evening records for us a parable that the Lord Jesus Christ told to the Pharisees and to the chief priests. It has come to be known as the parable of the marriage feast. You know, a parable, as we teach the children, whether it be in Sabbath school or in the children's meeting, a parable is an earthly story. It's something that has happened or does happen on earth that relates to and illustrates something of the gospel or illustrates something about the eternal kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I don't believe there's any greater earthly thing that illustrates the gospel and eternity as well as marriage. That was shown by the Savior himself and by the Word of God at the beginning of time and at the end of time. You see, the Bible tells us that the relationship between Christ and his redeemed and saved people is like the relationship between a husband and his wife. That's why we read the exhortation, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." At the beginning of time, Adam, that perfect man, the Lord took him and put him to sleep in the Garden of Eden. He opened up his side. I've no doubt that Adam's blood was shed. And he took out the rib and he made a woman and he made Eve and he gave that woman to Adam in marriage. And there you have a wonderful picture of the love of Christ. That Christ, the perfect sinless man, he shed his blood from his riven side that he might purchase unto himself his church, those that would believe on him, and that they might be his bride that he would take care of and provide for and save for all eternity. Of course, when you come to the end of the Bible, you have set forth the fact that the great eternity, the eternal kingdom of God, commences with what the Bible describes as the marriage supper of the Lamb. In Revelation 19, verse 5 to 7, we read, "The marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Blessed are they which are called under the marriage supper of the Lamb." That scene in the final chapters of the Bible depicts the eternal kingdom commencing. And it depicts the Savior descending from heaven. And his bride, all the believing people of God, are gathered unto him. And they're like that bride. And they're arrayed in fine linen. They're wearing the right clothing. And they're made ready for him. And they enter into what the Bible calls the marriage supper, the marriage feast. And the Bible says, "Blessed are all they that are bidden and come." And it's a picture of the saved on earth gathered to Christ at the end of time. And that great celebration that's like a marriage feast or a marriage supper. And the Bible says, "Blessed are they that are there. They that are gathered." I wonder tonight, friends, when that great event takes place, the marriage supper, the marriage feast of the Lamb, I wonder, will you be there? And it was for that reason that the Lord Jesus Christ told this parable. One reason why he told this parable to the Pharisees and the chief priests. There's a prophetic aspect to the parable, but there's a very personal and practical application to it as well. You see, the Lord Jesus told about a king, and his son was ready to get married, and the king prepared for that great marriage feast and that marriage supper. He sent out invitations far and wide, bidding men to come and be part of that marriage feast, that celebration. Some rejected the offer and invitation, and others received it. Brethren and sisters, tonight this parable, I tell you, was told because it is a picture of the King's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God and the Savior of sinners. The marriage supper of the Lamb, the great eternity, is hastening on. One day all of His redeemed will be gathered unto Him. But just as in the parable, when the King came to inspect the guests, there were those, there was one in particular, and he was not attired right. He hadn't on him the right garments, and so he was excluded from the wedding feast. So we say to you tonight, if you are to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, if you're to enter into the kingdom of God in eternity, then you must be arrayed in the wedding garment of heaven, and you must be saved by God's wonderful grace. That's the purpose of the parable that Jesus has told on this occasion. And there are four very simple gospel lessons that I want you to see from the parable tonight. I want you to notice, firstly, there was a provision that was essential. Look at verse 11 and verse 12. When the king came in to see the guests, you'll notice the king's inspecting those that wanted to enter into the marriage supper. He says, as the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And you will see the king is inspecting those who desire to enter into the wedding feast. And he notices a man who has not upon him the right wedding garment. Now, to understand the point that the Lord Jesus was making, you need to understand the custom of the weddings in those days, particularly the custom in relation to kings or rulers or men of wealth and substance. Today, when a wedding takes place, well, the man that's invited to come along, he goes to the wardrobe, he opens the wardrobe, he gets out his suit, he makes sure there's no stains on it. He says, that'll do rightly. And he maybe buys a new shirt or a tie. And he says, that'll make the old suit look like a new suit. And he goes in that suit that he has. But the women, they're a little different. They're looking round every shop in Portadown. And they'll maybe go into Lurgan and some of the other towns. And they've got to get the dress that's just right. And they're looking to see what's the best dress, the nicest dress that they can get to go to this wedding. And they don't want anyone else wearing the same garment. That would be terrible to turn up at the wedding and someone else, some other lady, have the same garment upon. And that's the custom today, isn't it? Well, the custom here was a little bit different. You see, men of wealth, men of substance, particularly rulers and kings, they provided the garment, the clothing for the guests who would come to the wedding. It was provided free of charge, without any cost to the guests. And yet in the parable that we read, there was obviously some individual who had turned up for that wedding feast, for that wedding supper, and he had turned up to it. He had come along, not in the garment that had been provided for him by the king and the ruler, but in some clothes that he had provided for himself. I don't know whether he thought that his own clothing was more fashionable, more up to date with the common trends of the time, or whether he thought that the clothing that he had was more comfortable and he would rather wear that garment for the day and for the wedding feast. I don't know what his reasoning was. But he decided that he would neglect the king's garment that was provided for him and he would wear his own attire. Brethren and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, when we consider the gospel, what a wonderful picture this is of the requirement, the provision that is essential to get into God's kingdom in heaven and be part of the marriage supper of the Lamb.
You see, the Bible presents us born into this world in a state of sin. And the Bible uses little pictures to describe our state before God. And in Isaiah chapter 64 in the verse 6, the prophet tells us that our sin is like filthy rags before the Lord. Isaiah 64 and verse 6, you'll know the verse well. But we are all as an unclean thing. Born into this world, we are unclean in our state of sin. And the verse goes on to say that righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And as the prophet pictures man born in a state of sin, he pictures that sin and illustrates it as being filthy, defiled, rags, tattered garments that are stained and marred. Men and women, that's how the sinner stands before God. That's how God views you in your sin. Your sins are not pardoned. You're in filthy rags. You've never been born again. You're in filthy rags. That's how God sees you. And yet, the Bible tells us in the same prophecy, the book of Isaiah, the chapter 61 and the verse 10, the prophet says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Here's something to praise the Lord for. Here's something to rejoice in. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. And you notice the prophet is speaking in the context of a wedding. And he's saying that God has adorned him and clothed him in garments like unto a bride or a bridegroom. He's provided a garment of salvation, a robe of righteousness. We sang about it tonight. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Brethren and sisters, men and women, know man is born in a state of sin. And he is defiled, and his garments are stained and tattered and worn before the Lord, and he sees them as filthy rags. Yet through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross and shed his blood as an atonement for our sins, through his work upon the cross, becoming the sin bearer and the sacrifice for our sins, paying our debt, through his death upon the cross, he has provided a way of salvation that the prophet pictured and described as a robe of righteousness, a garment of salvation. And the moment you come to confess your sin before the Lord, call upon him to be your Savior, trust in him for the removal of all your sins, the Bible says it's as if we put off the old tattered garments, and we put on the robe of Christ's righteousness. And he looks upon us and he sees us arrayed in those glorious garments. And in those wonderful clothes of salvation. There is a wedding garment that God has provided that ensures the sinner is saved from sin. And it covers, isn't that the message here of the garment? It covers our sin. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they knew they were naked and it was a shame. And by the old clothes of sin, the tattered garments, the robe of righteousness covers the shame of our sin. God has provided through his Son, not through the church, not through the minister, not through the sacraments, but by his Son and his work in the cross, he has provided a garment of salvation that covers all our sins from his view.
that he can accept us into his eternal kingdom to be part of that great marriage supper of the Lamb. Turn back again to Matthew chapter 22. And I want you to notice the second thing tonight. There's not only a provision that was essential. You can't get into heaven without the garment of God's salvation, without the wedding garment on. You need that garment to cover your sin. There's not only a provision that is essential, but there is an invitation that is universal. Look at verse 8 and verse 9. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. And of course, the Lord Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees. And because Israel, the Lord, came unto his own, and the Israelites, his own, received him not, the gospel was sent to the Gentiles. And that's what the Lord is speaking of there in verse 8. They which were bidden, it was to the Jew first, and they rejected it. And so it went to the Gentiles. He said, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. You'll notice there the invitation was to be given to all that the servants could find. I think one of the things that caused so many arguments at weddings today is the guest list. And my, you have the bride's family, and they want to draw up who they're going to have invited. And then you have the groom and the groom's family. They're drawing up their list of who's going to be invited. And the bride and groom, they'll maybe get a say at some stage who they want to be invited. Between the families, you can maybe have, well, now, we don't really think that person needs to be invited. And does that person really need an invitation? And all the arguments and controversy that can cause in drawing up the guest list in weddings today. Men and women, there's no such arguments or ill feelings in God's guest list. You see it for that marriage supper of the Lamb. The invitation is to go out to all. That's what he's saying to his servants. The king is saying to his servants in verses 8 and 9, you take it and you bid welcome all and as many as you can find. So those servants, verse 10 says, went out into the highways. The word highways, it means the wide places. And they gathered together all, as many as they found, both good and bad. And the wedding was furnished with guests. There they went out. And they had this invitation from the king. Go to the highways. Gather together everyone that you find to the marriage supper of my son. None would be offended, for nobody was left out. Nobody was uninvited. The king was not worried about their past. He wasn't concerned about their social standing, their abilities, their popularity, their profession, their employment. No, he said, invite them all. Isn't that a wonderful picture of the gospel invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't it an accurate picture of God's salvation? For God, when God formulated his eternal plan of salvation, and he prepared a way to be open for the salvation of man through the work of his Son upon the cross, he told and he tells his servants to bid everyone to come to Christ, to receive and experience God's salvation. That's why the Bible uses such terms as whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you notice he speaks about the good and the bad. Now that's not in God's estimation. That's in man's estimation. For in God's eyes we're all sinners.
But there are those and they think they're very good and they're very moral and they're very upright, and they're to be bidden to come for God's salvation. For it doesn't matter how upright and moral you think you are, you're a sinner before God and you need His salvation. And God says, come. Then there are those in man's estimation, they're bad. They're sinners exceedingly. Their sin is open before all men. And yet the invitation is still given. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Yes, the gospel uses terms like whosoever. Jesus, when He gave the Great Commission, He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. There's not a nation under heaven. There's not a tribe or a tongue or a language that the gospel and the invitation to come and be part of God's eternal kingdom. There's not a part under heaven that that message isn't to be taken. There's not a person that isn't to be told of God's salvation in Christ. And there's not a man or woman, a boy or girl who isn't to be bidden, come. Come to the Savior. Come and be part of the great marriage supper of the Lamb. For you are bidden and you are welcome. And yet, here is a warning. Because just as the invitation goes out for an earthly wedding, men and women have to respond. And if you want to be at the wedding supper of the Lamb, then, my friend, you must respond to God's invitation. You must receive Christ by faith. You must acknowledge your sins and repent of them and confess them before the Lord. And you must call upon the Lord to be your Savior. There was a provision that was essential. You can't enter into the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven without the wedding garment upon you. There is an invitation that is universal. The Lord invites you to come. And I might quote before I leave this thought the words of J.C. Ryle, the great evangelical bishop of Liverpool, when he said this: no man can lay the blame on God if he misses heaven. The Father has provided salvation in His Son. Christ has purchased salvation for whosoever will come. And the Spirit, through God's servants, invites all men to come and be saved. You will never look God in the face and say that you are not extended an invitation of mercy and salvation. You will never look God in the face and say you were never offered a place in heaven. But he went on to say, you might have to look at your own heart and confess you would not come. You did not receive His invitation. There is a provision that is essential. There is an invitation that is universal. But let me show you thirdly from this parable, there is an attitude that is neglectful. Look at verse 4 and 5. Again, He sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden. You notice that they had already been bidden. They had been told the marriage was going to take place. And then the servant went out to say, the time is ready. Come to the marriage supper. Like men and women in the gospel. They know there's a great eternity. They know that God is bidding them to come. And the Spirit again says, all things are now ready. Come. Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed. And all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But look at verse 5. But they made light of it. And went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. There's an attitude that is neglectful. Neglecting the salvation of the soul. Neglecting the invitation of the gospel. Neglecting
getting right with God and entering the kingdom of God, neglecting it. Do you notice why they neglected it? They felt there were more important things in this life to be doing and to be engaged in. One went to his farm. The other went to his merchandise. And what they were really saying was this: I count my earthly business to be more important than the marriage of the king's son. And oh, how accurate the Word of God is, how up to date the Savior's teaching is. For ladies and gentlemen, this world, we can narrow it down, this country, this town is full of individuals, and they account the common things in life, their earthly employments, their earthly duties, their earthly pleasures, and their earthly entertainments more important than entering into the kingdom of God and getting right with God. There are those, and they have so much to do in this life, wouldn't have time to give any of my life to the Lord. But maybe when I'm older and I've more time in my hands, then I'll get right with God. Maybe there are young people and their attitude is, there are other things that are more important. Want to see the world. Want to taste the world and its pleasures. And that's more important. And so we'll neglect the invitation of the King to get right with God and to have His salvation and be clothed in the garment of salvation. The Bible says, the words of Jesus, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And you know what Jesus was saying? Very simply, he was teaching, there is nothing in this world that is as important as your soul salvation. Because if you gain all of this world, yet if you lose your soul, all that you did, all that you amassed in this life, all that you experienced, it will profit you nothing to lose your soul in hell. Tonight, I urge you and I exhort you, do not neglect your soul salvation for the common things in this world and in this life. For there's coming a day when your life on earth and everything in this world will cease to be. And then it's only how you're adorned and clothed before God that will really matter. How will you do in that day? So there were those, and they neglected the invitation because they counted the things of earth more important. But I want you to look again at verse 11, and you'll see that there was someone else, and he was neglectful for another reason. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Now, this man in verse 11, he wasn't like those individuals in verse 4 and 5 who completely ignored and neglected the invitation and thought, I've better things to be taken up with. I don't want to be at the marriage of the king's son. I'd rather be doing the things and taken up with the things of this life. No, this man's different. He heard about the marriage of the king's son. He thought that he would like to be there. He perhaps counted a privilege to be invited, but he thought that he could go clothed whatever way he wanted. And so what he neglected was the garment that the king provided. And again, what an up-to-date picture that is. You see, while there are those and they neglect God's salvation because they want to be taken up with the other things in life, there are also those, and they hear the word of God, and they hear that, yes, there's a God in heaven. There's a Christ, the Son of God, who is God's Son. He has provided a way of salvation. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And they think, yes, I'd like to be in heaven. I'd like to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. but I don't need Christ's righteousness to get there. I don't need the garment of God's salvation. I can get there some other way. God will accept me in some other clothes. And so they put on the garment of morality. I'm good enough. And I get to heaven by my own works. There are those and they put on the garment of religion. And well, maybe I'm a sinner, but if I go to church and I say prayers now and again, and I take the sacraments, that will get me into heaven. And they put on the clothes of religion. And others, they put on the clothes of charity. Now they know there's that wedding feast in heaven someday, but they think they can get there their own way, and so they neglect salvation. Paul said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And that really brings me to my final point tonight. And with this I close and I will be brief. You'll see there's not only a provision that was essential, an invitation that was universal. There was an attitude that was neglectful. There was an outcome that was fearful. Because the king came in to see the guests. No parable is perfect in its presentation of its likeness to the kingdom of God. So don't be thinking that someone will slip into heaven and then God will see them and they shouldn't be there and he'll remove them. No, it's just an earthly story to illustrate a broader truth in the gospel. But the point is this, the king examined the guests, and on the great judgment day, every soul will be examined before the Lord. And he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment on. My friend, if you don't have on the garment of God's salvation, the Lord will see it. The Lord will know it. Verse 12, he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In this outcome, do you see there was a showdown, as it were? The king, he confronted the man who had no wedding garment on, and there was no hiding place. And there will be no hiding from God in the great eternity or in the judgment day. As you stand before the great white throne, there'll be no hiding from him. And he will expose if you have not got on that wedding garment of heaven. And you'll notice there was silence. The man was speechless. He didn't answer the king back. He knew he'd been found out. He could say nothing. And I tell you, in that day, sinners will not blaspheme the Lord. They'll not tell him what they think they're going to say. But no, when the Lord challenges them, they'll be found out and they'll be speechless before him. There was silence. And then there was sorrow. Because he was taken, and the Bible tells us the words of the Lord Jesus that it will be the angels of God who will bind the tares together. And as the tares are cast into the fire, so those that know not the Savior and have not received the invitation, been adorned in the garment of God's salvation, they will be sent away to everlasting burnings in that place the Bible calls hell. And that's an outcome that is fearful. And that's an eternal outcome we don't want you to experience. Therefore, tonight in closing, we remind you, God has provided a garment of salvation. He invites you to receive it and to be clothed in it, so that you will enter into the great marriage supper of the Lamb and into the kingdom of God throughout eternity as the bride of Jesus Christ, to enjoy the blessings that he gives to his people, not just for time, but for all eternity.